Thank you, Gerda, for your obedience. Thank you, Desiree. Thank you, Lindy, for being here. The Lord is definitely speaking. It's just so amazing how He confirms stuff. I want you to consider for a moment. I could have shown a lot of stats up there, but I want you to consider for a moment that not every person on this earth has a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Not every person knows the Lord right now. I don't know what the stats are and how many people know Jesus, and I guess it won't even be accurate if you try to really discover what the stats are. Whose heart is really after God and whose heart is not? Whose heart doesn't even know God? We were at my father-in-law and my mother-in-law's house this weekend, and my father-in-law, some of you know, is pretty much dying of cancer. And to see someone dying is not nice. See someone so sick and suffering is not great. But when I think about that, I just wonder about people that are suffering spiritually, that will not make it to heaven one day, that don't even know that they're sick and that they're suffering and that they don't have eternal life, that they don't have hope. I want you to consider that for a moment. I want you to consider the Japanese people, how few people know Jesus, how few Christians there are in certain countries. In Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 4. It says the following: when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. A few weeks ago, the Lord gave me a word that He wants to start lighting fires in us and through us. And I really believed it was a word that was exciting me, and it was a word that is hopefully exciting you. And this morning I want to start with, and I want to say that I believe this word starts right here in our mouths, just like it did at Pentecost more than 2,000 years ago. And so the message of my, or the title of my sermon this morning is called Tongues On, and I put in brackets there, and in brackets, and on a fire. Amen. So I'm so excited for what Desiree did now, just to step out and to start to sing to the Lord, and Lindy sharing a testimony of God stirring her to go, and the word that was given the intercessors about our mouths. It's so amazing. God is really with us, and God is confirming stuff, because Gerda did not know what I was going to preach about. No one knew what I was going to preach about this morning except my wife. And I'm really excited for this word, and so I want you to just be ready for what the Lord wants to do today and in the next while in your life. Amen. Amen. I think we're going to have a lot of amens this morning, right? Are we going to be silent? Are we going to stay silent in church this morning? Yes or no? Are we going to stay silent in church this morning? Yes or no? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and we're going to Uganda next week. Next Sunday this time, we'll be in Uganda, and there'll be a lot of hallelujahs and a lot of amens. Amen. And I trust that it will be the same with us, that we'll get excited again, and we'll move our mouths for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because I believe we become silent, and I believe God wants to set us on fire like He did to these amazing people that were hungry for God, hungry for His Spirit. Because it says here that there appeared to them tongues as of fire. Why tongues, I ask? And why fire? And it says here, and it sat upon some of them, half of them. Turn to somebody next to you and say, the tongue sat upon each of them. And so this morning I trust that there would be a tongue of fire that would sit or resit upon each one of you this morning. And then it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? They started to speak with other tongues and to prophesy as the Spirit gave them utterance. Why specifically tongues is the big question this morning. I believe it's significant that the Bible talks about a tongue and talks about being filled with the fire on your tongue. There's something powerful about the spoken word of God. There's something powerful about God speaking and us speaking and us responding. And I just want to look a little bit at the history of the spoken word throughout the book of the Bible. Throughout the Bible, it talks about the spoken word. In fact, yeah, right at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, what happened? It said, God said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. Right at the beginning, God spoke, and guess what happened? There was life. There was light. There was creation. An amazing creation. And we know the story. Mankind happened, and man was the pinnacle of God's creation. And then, unfortunately, another word was spoken right in front of a tree where there was a man and a woman standing. And the evil one said to Eve, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of that tree? As God indeed said, and there was an engagement with words, and it brought death. It brought death. And throughout the Old Testament, the prophets spoke the word of God to try and restore that which was spoken of in the garden, which was lost. And the prophets spoke the word of God, and then suddenly what happened? There was 400 years of silence. Nothing was spoken. The prophets were quiet. There seemed to be no life in the Spirit. No words. And then what happened? Our Savior was born. And guess what Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says? I haven't got these scriptures up, but you can take them down and meditate on them in this week. Because they're there in your Bible. They don't have to be on PowerPoint, by the way. If they're not on PowerPoint, it doesn't mean they're not in the Bible. Amen. Read your Bible more than reading PowerPoint. PowerPoint is just there to help us. But read your Bible. Hebrews chapter 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. God spoke. He has always spoken. But it says, yeah, he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. He has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he has appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the worlds. Jesus Christ was born and a voice was spoken, a powerful prophetic voice was given to mankind. The Son of God was born. And that was the word given to us. And then history carries on and Jesus grows up and he becomes a man and he's released into his ministry. And the first thing he's sent to do is to overcome the devil. And guess how he overcomes the devil in the wilderness? Three times he's tempted on various things. Three times he says to the devil, it is written. And he speaks to the evil one. He speaks the word of God, not his own words. He speaks the eternal word of God to the devil. And guess what? After the third time, the devil is sick and tired of trying to tempt Jesus. He's given him absolutely everything he could possibly offer him, and he does not get hold of Jesus. He cannot overcome him. Jesus overcomes him by the word of God and the word of life. And then, yeah, we find this very same story in Acts chapter 2. God pours out his Holy Spirit. Jesus goes and he goes away and he pours out his Holy Spirit and he gives his followers, first of all, the privilege and secondly, the responsibility of doing what? Speaking the word of God to the nations. Being the voice of God to the nations in Acts chapter 2. And I want to say that again. Not only has the disciples at the first church been given that privilege and that responsibility, it's the same for us today. Friends, we've been given the privilege and the responsibility of preaching the word of God. It's the most amazing privilege, it's the most amazing blessing, and it's not easy. But he says to us, even when life is tough, I've given you the word. And then in Revelation chapter 12 verse 11, it says that we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, or we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Throughout the Bible, the word of God has been spoken. And even when the word of God has been twisted, and even when there's been temptation, and even when Eve responded to this word, Adam was silent, and Adam should have spoken. I believe that's why it happened. Eve could not take that, and Adam did not say anything. He was silent, and so the temptation happened, and that's why we have the privilege of restoring what God started at the beginning, His spoken word. And Jesus did it, and He's given us that same privilege to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And if there's anything that the devil loves to do for us as believers is to keep us, the key's gone. It's like, can't speak anymore. And he steals our boldness, and he steals other words, and he steals life from us, because life is truly in the tongue and in the spoken word. I remember when I've shared the story maybe a couple of times, I was running up Table Mountain doing this incredible hard race in a team, a mountain race, and we had to end up this 12K run, running the last 1K up Table Mountain right to the top to hand over to the guy that was doing the paragliding, and that was like the last leg of this multiple team event, multi-sport team event. And so I'm running up, and I'm not having a great race. I've got such an expectation, I'm fit and everything, and so halfway through the race, I really feel bad and start to feel sorry for myself. Then we started to go up Table Mountain, up Plattekloof Gorge, and there's a lot of tourists coming down and up that, climbing that piece there that we were running. And then the Lord says to me, you know what, I want you to just share me with people as you run. I'm like, this is now about me, Lord, this is not church. And I was, no, this is about me, says God. And so I'm running, and I'm starting to think, you know what? This race isn't about how well I do anymore. This race is about opportunities I'm going to get, because I know I'm going to run up and probably see people coming down. And so, lo and behold, we run up this gorge, and there's these tourists coming down. And I'm thinking, I've already got breath in my lungs, but I just feel this fire in me. I just feel this desire in me to share with people as I'm running. And sometimes I was walking, actually, because you can't run up there. It's so steep. But I've got my race number on, and I'm in the race, and I'm sharing with these people as I go past them. I just mentioned the name of Jesus because I didn't have too much else to say. You know, I'm like so tired. But I just said, you know, Jesus loves you. Jesus got a plan for your life. And I'm sharing with these people as I'm going, they probably think I'm crazy. But I just had the desire to share Jesus, even in the tough times, even when it felt like I was so self-focused and so like all about me and I'm not doing well and doing what I wanted to, but I just felt the Lord saying, is life about you or is it about me? And I get this desire to just start to share Jesus. And I got that desire, you know, a few years before that, I got the desire when I was filled with the Holy Spirit in 2001, I got filled with the fire of God in my life. And it impacted my heart, and it impacted my whole life. It impacted my tongue. Being a very shy guy, being a person that doesn't want to speak much, but I just could not speak. The fire of God was in my life, and I wanted to share it with whoever I saw. But even in the tough times, God has called us to speak the word. In Proverbs 18, it says, yeah, the death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Either we're going to speak life with our tongues or we're going to speak death. And I believe if we speak nothing, we're still speaking death. We're doing what Adam did. Adam was just silent. He just didn't say anything. He wasn't there to speak when he should have spoken. And sometimes saying nothing is not the right thing. When you see evil happening, when you see bad stuff happening, are we just going to stay silent? Because I believe that's just going with the enemy and partnering with the enemy. But I believe we also have the power to speak terrible words, to speak death. And when we get angry and when we're speaking out of a place where it's not God, then we shouldn't speak. So I'm not saying we must speak all the time, but there's power in the tongue. Even in James, he says, yeah, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So yeah, again, James talks about this fire and this tongue, but it's like a different fire. He says the tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, and it sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. So I guess your tongue seems to be able to be set on fire by heaven or by hell. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so it's sad that there's, it's like if we say nothing or if we say the wrong things, it's like it's not good. So we need to say something. We need to speak life and speak the gospel. And then the scripture that has been shared twice already this morning, or part of the scripture. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, I've heard a quote once that says, the gospel is only good news if it gets there on time. The gospel is only good news if it gets there on time. In other words, there could be people missing the gospel because it doesn't get to certain people on time. And it says that people are not going to believe if they're not going to hear. And how can they hear if they don't have a voice telling them the good news of Jesus Christ? Amen. And we love to quote that scripture of confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. But think about some people. How are they going to confess and how are they going to believe? Lots of people are confessing lots of stuff. Lots of people are believing lots of stuff. Doesn't mean if you confess and believe, you're saved. It means you've got to confess Jesus Christ as Lord of your life and Savior. And I want you to think about this morning. I want you to think about how did you hear the gospel for the very first time. Think about your own salvation. Think about how did you come to the faith. Think about it for a moment. Who told you the gospel the first time? But I believe for each one of us, someone must have told you the gospel. Someone must have explained to you the gospel. Or maybe you read it, but someone must have encouraged you to read the word of God. Someone must have told you the word of God is life. Amen. The word of God is the answer. Someone must have encouraged you, whether it was your mother or your father or just a friend. But I'll never forget my own life. I'll never forget when I was 15 years old, a little school boy, not knowing much about life and being confronted with the challenges of life as any high school boy does. And I heard the first most powerful explanation of the gospel that I've ever heard in my life. And I grew up in a traditional church. I grew up like trying to be a good person. I grew up like church is good and God is in church. And so it's good to go to church, but I never heard the gospel, the full gospel. The gospel that I'd heard was that I'm good enough and that I'm okay. As long as I know about God, I'm going to heaven. And for the first time, I heard the gospel, the full gospel. And I'll tell you what I heard. I heard the fire of the gospel. I've put it here in 4 points here. In his book, The Deliberate Church by Mark Deva and Paul Alexander, the writers write the following about, he says there's 4 aspects to the gospel that we must preach, because Mark Deva is concerned that the church has lost the full gospel, that we're preaching a gospel that's just to say you're forgiven and God loves you and all of that, but the full gospel hasn't been told. And so I call it the fire of the gospel. There's 4 fires that the gospel is talking about. The first one is the fire of God's holiness. Because the gospel has 4 aspects to it. It's God, man, Christ, and then a response. That's the full gospel. God, man, Christ, and then an opportunity for a response, or an invitation, or whatever you want to call it. So the first aspect is the fire of God's holiness. We need to know that God is a holy God. Amen. That God is a jealous God. God is a glorious God. God is a perfect, amazing, supernatural God. We read throughout the Bible about the fire of God's holiness. God's fire consuming the offering in the Old Testament, consuming the burnt offering, and there's glory there. And people can't even enter the temple because of God's glory and God's presence. It's so important to preach the full gospel. And that's what I heard when I heard the gospel for the first time. I heard that God is a holy God, that God is great and God is amazing. And then the second thing I heard was that there's a fire of God's judgment. There's hell and heaven. They're realities. It's not just heaven. There's hell, and hell is not meant for people. Hell was meant for the devil and his angels, his demons that fell. But there's a fire of God's judgment. And that's where mankind comes in. Mankind falls automatically by default under the fire of God's judgment. Sorry if he thought you were okay without Jesus. Sorry. That's not the right gospel. You're not okay. There's a fire of God's judgment. And that's what I heard. I heard so clearly that I need to repent of my sin, that I'm not okay, that I'm actually not a good person. There's no one good. Not one, Romans 3 says. No one is good. And there's a fire coming. There's God's judgment, and praise the Lord, he's holding back on his fire, but God is a just God, and so God's patience and his long suffering with man will run out sometime. So the fire of his judgment, and then what's the most amazing fire is the fire of God's redemption. Jesus Christ overcoming all of that on the cross. Jesus Christ dying the worst death for us, which I believe is talking about the fire of his redemption. Redemption talks about buying something back which should have been sent down the drain. He paid a price. He paid the greatest price for our lives. The fire of God's judgment and then the fire of his redemption. And that's Jesus Christ. That's who he is. And so what I heard from this amazing evangelist, he was an ex-cricket player, Peter Pollock, he said something which profoundly impacted my life. He said, if there's no change, there's no Jesus. So I could have heard about the fire of the holiness of God, heard about the fire of God's judgment that I wasn't okay, and then heard about the incredible redemption, the power of Jesus Christ's redemption. I could have heard about that fire, but then he said, if there's no change, there's no Jesus. I just realized, whoa, I need to make a change in my life. I need to turn away from my sin. I need to recognize, first of all, that I am a sinner. And that's what I did in the heart of hearts, as honestly as I could, with no one around me. I waited until my birthday, 19th of March, 1992. I decided, you know what, I want to remember this day forever. And in my heart, I made a commitment. I said, Jesus, I realize that I'm not a good person. I realize that going to church is not going to save me. I realize that just carrying on with my life like it is not going to save me. I need to realize. And the conviction of the Spirit was so powerful, I realized that I need to make a change. And I turned to Jesus. I said, Jesus, you are my Savior. I believe you, my Savior. And so I gave my life to Jesus. And then I experienced the freedom of being saved. I truly experienced redemption and being one with God. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that someone told me the gospel. One thing I'm a little bit upset with Peter Pollock, and I guess it's any evangelist cannot give you a full teaching, so I'm not upset with him. I'm thankful that I got saved. But I'm a little bit upset that he didn't tell me that, you know, this Christian life cannot be lived without power. I cannot just give my life to the Lord. The gospel isn't complete until we have the last fire, and that's the fire of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Because for 9 years I walked and I knew I was going to heaven, but I didn't make a difference in anyone's life. It was all about me, 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 even though I'd been saved, but life still very much did revolve around the big me that started to get smaller. But the last F is the fire of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And it's so important to preach the full gospel. And that's where our response comes in. We respond to the gospel, but our response is to, Lord, I need to receive the fullness of God to live this Christian life. Need to receive the power of your Holy Spirit. And so that's the good news that we can tell people, is that they don't have to just make a confession and a commitment and giving their lives to Jesus. They can actually have power from the Holy Spirit. And therefore, I'm so thankful to Shofar Christian Church, because when I came into this church, I could see these guys were living a life of empowerment. These guys were living a life. They were witnessing. I wanted what they had. I remember one of the pastors who's in Tigerberg now, Pastor Ross van Niekerk. He would walk around our res with a smile on his face. Just had the joy of the Lord. I was like, seems like the Jesus I'm serving and this guy's Jesus is a bit different. I'm not so excited about Jesus as he is. I don't know what's different, but something's different. And then I came to know this Holy Spirit. Came to know the fire that is talked about in Acts chapter 2. The tongue on fire affects various parts of our lives. When the gospel sets us on fire, it truly sets our tongues on fire. And it has three effects on our lives, or it affects three parts of our lives. First of all, it has a positive effect on our well-being. Anyone here want to live a life where your well-being is intact? You want to be healthy? You want to live an abundant life? Emotionally, physically, every part of your life? Well, guess what? Jesus has given you and me the ability to speak life over every sickness, over every disease, over every depression, over every doubt, over every fear in our lives. Did you know that? It's not just going to go away. Don't hope it away. Don't pray a little prayer in your heart. You know, when someone is dying, like, I mean, when an airplane is crashing or like there's a bit of a problem, like you know, people start to scream out, right? When Princess Diana died in that car crash, it's like she, you know, before she was killed, they just said she cried out like Jesus. But you're not going to, in your heart, you're not going to like inside your heart pray this quiet prayer when life is going tough, right? Or when you're faced with death, you're not going to pray the prayer in your heart. You're going to speak it out. You're going to cry out to God. So if you find yourself in a place of heaviness, you find yourself in depression, you find yourself sick or doubting or fearing, you know what? God has given us an answer. It's called the tongue on fire. To speak to that sickness. Amen. To speak to that negativity. To speak to the enemies of your soul. And that's not people primarily. God, I mean, the devil could use people, but it's him and his demons. And we heard it from Andre a couple of weeks ago. There's power in the tongue on fire when we speak to the stuff that is going against our well-being. Whether it's physical, emotional, whatever it is, or financial, start to speak the provision of God. Amen. But we're silent and we sort of hope that it will get better, but God has given us a tongue and he wants to set that tongue on fire for our well-being and our abundant life. And we can start to pray for others as well. We can start to pray for others as well being and lead others into this place of the fullness of God when we've got a tongue on fire. And second thing is a tongue on fire, as we've seen this morning, will worship God in spirit and in truth. A tongue on fire is not going to be silent when we start to sing songs. But you know, it's easy to worship in church when we're all feeling good and we're all in this mode of worship. But are you going to worship when you've got no money in the bank? Are you going to worship when it's tough and when there's sickness or depression that's knocking at your door? Are you going to not only speak this against this thing, but are you at the same time going to focus on God and are you going to worship God? In fact, I should have put it the other way around. I guess your worship should come first before your well-being, because it is all about God after all. Amen. So are we going to worship him? Are we going to shout out loud from the rooftops that Jesus is Lord? Are we going to shout to our neighbors that Jesus is Lord? Are we going to worship him, not to try and Bible bash people, but to tell people Jesus is Lord? And I believe it's going to affect our prayer life. We will not pray little prayers anymore. We'll pray loud prayers. We'll pray prayers of faith and prayers of belief and prayers of hunger and prayers of desperation at times. God wants us to be desperate at times. Not out of fear, but to a place where we say, God, I cry out to you. But it starts with the tongue on fire. It's not going to happen by psyching yourself up, because then it's not from the Holy Spirit. Then it's your own flesh. And you know what? That's going to last so long. Some of us have been on fire and God just wants to reignite that fire again. And you've tried to get the fire going in your own strength and it's not working, and it's good because it's not supposed to work. It's not your fire. It's God's fire. And then it's going to affect our witness. It's going to affect our witness to tell the world around us. We're going to witness differently if you've got a tongue on fire. Amen. Witness isn't going to be something you have to do. It's just going to be something that you are and that you do because you his witness. He said, don't do witnessing, be my witnesses. How far am I? I don't want to go over time. Where's the time cards? How far is it? No, don't want to go over time. See, it's close to 11 o'clock. I don't want to take your guys' time, but just I've put up a picture here of 2 years ago. I was in London. And I was standing at the testimony, or a reminder for all of us of the testimony of John Wesley. Anyone know what that thing is supposed to mean? It's supposed to be a flame. It's almost going to be like a tongue, like exactly what happened in Acts chapter 2. Tongues of fire. It's supposed to represent a flame, the flame of fire of the Holy Spirit. Impacted a man called John Wesley. And when they took us there, it was like, yo, I just felt the presence of God. I really felt God reminding me again. And I want to read his story. I want to read what he wrote on that thing. What is written on that metal, very thick metal plaque, which represents the flame of the Holy Spirit, the tongue of fire. And John Wesley writes the following. He says, in the evening I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, which was right there where we were, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About 8:45 that night, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, he writes the following, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt that I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. And we know that John Wesley was one of the greatest revivalists in the 17th and 18th centuries. But it says that the Spirit of God touched him warmly. It strangely warmed his heart, and he felt that fire burning, and his whole life was dedicated to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he made a massive impact. Started the Methodist Church, him and his brother, which is still going today. And there's many other stories of the fire of the Holy Spirit warming hearts. But not only warming hearts, because sometimes when we leave it in the heart, then it just makes us feel good and we're all warm and we're fine. But Jesus doesn't only want to warm our hearts, he truly wants to touch our tongues. Truly wants to set our tongues on fire. That we can preach the good news. In Mark chapter 16, my last scripture this morning, and then we're going to pray this morning. We're going to trust the Lord to just light the fire in our hearts again, that we can light fires all over the place, wherever we go. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. This is a whole sermon on its own. I guess we can take each one of these and we can look at ourselves and say, but are these the signs that are really following us who believe? I'm challenged by this because I'm like, Lord, I don't see these signs happening. And it's not about the signs, but then the question is, do I really believe and do I have the fire of the Holy Spirit in my mouth? Because it says the following. It says, first of all, in my name they will cast out demons. How do you cast out demons? Definitely not silently. That's all I know. Amen. How do you cast out demons? With faith and with your mouth. You need to tell that thing to go. And you can do it in your own life. You can do it for someone else that really wants to. But you cast it out by speaking. Demons will not. That's why demons sometimes don't go. Is because no one's told them to go. So they're fine just sitting there. And sometimes, I'm talking to all of us as well, sometimes we have them even in our own lives. And are we happy with them there and they're happy to be there? And we're happy that other people have demons and it's fine. They will cast out demons. Then it says they will. I think you guys all need to. They will do what? They will speak with new tongues. It says it there. I'm just a messenger this morning. Sorry for those people who think tongues is gone. old time. No, for those who believe, they will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes we don't believe. So we just lose our tongues. We don't even speak with tongues anymore. Don't even pray in tongues anymore. But I can tell you, when you got the fire of the Holy Spirit in your life, you know what? You will speak with tongues. And you hear people that are praying. They don't pray too loudly because they do respect. And there's a fire there. There's a fire that you can see the fire. You can experience the fire when you hear people pray. And I have to question sometimes, are people really filled with the Holy Spirit when I don't hear them speaking in tongues? Because the Bible says clearly, two things happen when people got filled with the Holy Spirit. Read the book of Acts. Three or four times it mentions very specifically, they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and what did they do? Number one, they prophesied. Number two, they spoke in tongues. Hallelujah. Charismatic Christians, spirit-filled Christians, I'm talking to all of us here this morning. They spoke with new tongues. Underline that in your Bible. They will speak with new tongues, it says. Not they might or they hope to know, they will speak. And I remember when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I saw these people speaking and I just wanted that. I said, how did you get that? Pray for me. And it took a while. I resisted it like I didn't. I thought God was going to move my tongue for me. But it doesn't work like that. God is not he's a gentleman. He just gives us faith and he gives us the ability to believe. And then he says, you move your tongue. You start to speak. But in my name, they will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents with their hands. And if they drink anything deadly, if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. I believe if you drink something deadly, you need to speak to that thing to say, get out of my body. Poison, do not hurt me in Jesus' name. And somehow it will go out in various ways. And then it says they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How do you tell sickness, or how does sickness leave? You can lay hands on people and say nothing, but how does sickness mostly leave? You pray and you tell that sickness to go in the name of Jesus. But I see in this Gospel of Mark, which is the most simple, powerful portrayal of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew used Mark and Luke did as well. And it simply says, we need to believe and ask the Holy Spirit to fill our mouths with fire. Amen. And then you're going to speak. And you know, it's not going to be a destructive fire. I'm not talking now about being a turn or burn type of, you know. What was that thing that we said in the cell the other night, Xavier, where someone said about the church, dry of it. Some church had a thing of, or no, it wasn't that, Michelle. It was something else. It was, if you don't, what if you come to the bread of life or become toast, you know? I really want to say who did that. Okay. Not going to knock anyone. We're not talking about a fire of destruction. We're talking about a fire of love. Amen. Because God is love and God's fire warms our hearts like he did to John Wesley. But it's so passionate. It's so powerful that it's going to make an impact in communities. It's going to make an impact in nations. Amen. It's going to make impact in Bloemfontein. In case you thought Bloemfontein is lost forever, it's not. You know why Bloemfontein is lost? Because we've lost our fire. Some people in Bloemfontein, some people on this campus, some people in the school are going to hell because we've lost our fire. It's not because God doesn't love them. I know I'm saying some tough stuff, and I'm saying it to me because I realized, and I'm confessing in front of everyone, I've lost my fire. The last while, I've lost my fire, to be honest. But you know what's exciting is God's restoring that. Amen. And I can tell I'm going to Uganda. We are going to Uganda. My son is going with me. And we are going to go and take the fire, as much fire as we have. But we're going to get lots of fire back. I know that. We're going to a revival meeting next Wednesday. And we're going to see the outpouring of the Spirit. And we're going to say, Lord, that's me. I want to be there. Give me more through the night. Through the night. Won't sleep. It doesn't matter. But I want more of the fire. And I know where I get it. I get it in the inner room. I get it from Jesus himself. But Jesus sometimes says, go. And to end off this morning, I want to say to you that it's a cycle of fire that either increases or it decreases. You cannot stay the same. The fire cannot stay the same. It either increases or it decreases. And you know how it increases? By more and more as we proclaim the gospel. Jesus ignites his fire in us at the start. When we get saved, he ignites a fire. He ignites us with his Holy Spirit. But you know how it increases? When we tell the gospel. When we preach the gospel, because it's the power of God. And it's the fire of God for us and for others. And it's not only for others, it's for us. That's why we need to live the gospel and preach the gospel and live it fully and understand the four F's of the four fires of the gospel: God's holiness, God's judgment, God's redemption, and God's empowerment. The full gospel, and understand it, and then you realize, you know, I'm not just such a little friend of God all the time. I'm actually a man who needs redemption. I'm under God's judgment. Not under condemnation. I'm just under the fire of God, and God wants to fire us up with His gospel. You know, it decreases. The fire decreases the less we preach the gospel, the less we live the gospel. And I'm talking from experience. I've seen it in my own life. I can be a pastor. I can be in the ministry. And you know what? The less I preach the gospel to unbelievers and to people, the less the fire just slowly starts to dim. And it'll never go out because God's love is too great. He'll never allow me to lose the fire completely. But you know what? It's terrible to be lukewarm. Amen. Thank you, Lawrence. It's terrible to be lukewarm. Amen. But it's a cycle that God wants us to proclaim His good news wherever we go. And sometimes we've got to be like Angus Buck and proclaim it to the wheat fields. Find a chair. Come to this hall when there's no people here and just preach it to these chairs that you can at least practice when there are people sitting here. But proclaim it to something for your own sake, for your own fire. I want the band to come forward this evening, and I want us to pray this morning. I don't want us to do anything in the flesh. I don't want us to psych ourselves up. I just want us to say this morning, Jesus, I'm hungry for You, Lord. Because you know how those first disciples got the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit? You know how they did? They were just praying. They were hungry for God. They were first of all obedient. That's a key. We've been talking about obedience the last 2 weeks. In case you missed it, get this. Hopefully it's recorded. Thanks, Wes. It is recorded. They were obedient to God, but then they were hungry for God. Jesus left them. He just went. He did their last step of obedience. He said, wait in the upper room. That's all He said to them. They could have been playing computer games or being on their phones there, just waiting casually. But I didn't see that in the Bible. Okay, there weren't phones then, so. But they didn't have other distractions. They were hungry for God. And someone said it earlier. I think Yor sprayed it when he was ministering. There's other flames that take our hearts. Amen. And let's do what the song says. Let's let go of the old flames. Let's say, Jesus, I'm hungry for You. I want to see, Lord, demons cast out. I want to see sick people recovered. I want to see tongues being spoken so that people can marvel. 1 Corinthians 14 says unbelievers will even marvel at tongues and at prophecy. And I believe Shofar Bloemfontein and Alistair King, all God is saying to us, do we want His power? Do we want miracles to happen? We're not looking for the miracles, but we're looking for the Jesus of the miracle. And sometimes miracles are a distraction. Sometimes it's not of God. Devil can also do miracles, but I believe God really wants to do miracles. And the devil comes to tell us now, but look, miracles are just for the old times, or it's just for deceived people, it's just for demonized people, so leave the miracles. And God's saying, no, I'm still a God of miracles. I'm still a God who heals the sick. I'm still a God who does stuff that we cannot control. But guess why we don't have the power of God? Because we're so in control. Amen. We so want to control God. We want to control everything that He does. And so as long as it's in our box, then it's fine. So I'm saying, God, let's just let go of all control. I want to see the gospel being preached. I don't know about you. That's what we're living for, friends. That's what we're living for, the power of the gospel. But it starts in our tongues. It starts in our hearts, but then it falls over into our tongues. And we start to speak the oracles of God, prophesy. Lay hands. Speak life. Speak life. Speak life. Let's close our eyes this morning. I want us to stand as we close our eyes now. I want you to stand to your feet. Just as a sign that you're really hungry for God. You want to reach out to Him where you are this morning. You want to say, Lord, I want the tongue of fire that my tongue can be on fire. I want a tongue on fire, Lord. But give me what you did to the first disciples. Give me a tongue. Just remind me again that you want to fill me right now with your Spirit. And I want you to cry out to God. If you can pray this morning, I want you to pray. We're not going to call anyone to the front right now. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister to them right where you are. If you're hungry for God, I want you to open your hands. I want you to receive. And God might even just have such an encounter this morning, physical manifestation. You might just have warmth in your heart like John Wesley did. You might have, I don't know what the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning, but I believe He wants to touch your mouth primarily. He wants to touch your heart, but He wants to touch your mouth, and He wants you to start to speak with boldness. So Jesus, we yield to you this morning, Lord. We yield to you as your people, Lord. We want our tongues to be set on fire, Lord. We want to be silent no more, Lord. We say no to silence in Jesus' name. We say no to defeat in Jesus' name. We say no to doubt. We say no to things that keep us in depression and keep us quiet. We say no to that in the name of Jesus. If you can speak in tongues, you pray in the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit. Activate your faith this morning. Activate your faith. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you. Band, you guys can just sing in the Spirit. Play in the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead your instruments. We're not going to sing a known song right now. We're not going to sing a well-known song, because we want to sing in the Spirit. We want to say, Jesus, yeah, we are. We're hungry. We're like those 120 in the upper room. We want the outpouring of your Spirit. We want tongues on fire. In Jesus' name. Let Him warm your heart again. Let him remind you of the times you were so passionate for Him. He's going to bring that back. I believe He's going to bring that back. Oh, Jesus, we're desperate for you this morning. Thank you for your anointing right now. Your outpouring. You know who's hungry here this morning, Lord. You know who's hungry for your Spirit this morning, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's all about you, Lord. Just sing a new song to Jesus from your heart this morning. Just like Desiree did. I believe she opened a door for people to sing to Jesus just from your heart. It doesn't have to be in tune. It doesn't have to be on note. To forget about how you can sing. Just sing to Jesus. He's the lover of your soul. He loves you so much, and He wants you close to Him, but He wants to touch you because you're a vessel. You're a vessel in His hand. There's someone here, you feel like you're so worthless. A couple of people here, you feel like you're so worthless, and you're not worthless. Jesus says, you're my daughter, you're my son. I love you so much. You're not worthless. You're a worthy recipient of my Spirit, and you're a worthy vessel through which I want to tell the people the good news. You're worthy to receive my sacrifice this morning. I've made it for you. And now I want to give you my Holy Spirit. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, just open your heart. Just ask for an anointing of the Spirit of God. It's only Jesus that can do it. If you know Jesus, you can ask Him. Say, Jesus, baptize me with your Spirit. Give me boldness. Give me your Spirit. I cannot without your Spirit, Lord. I need your fullness of life. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. So you guys can, if you want to sing the song, New Wine, just flow as the Spirit leads you. New wine this morning, Lord. New wine, Jesus. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come, says the Lord. The new has come. Fresh, fresh revelation. If you can come and, Gerard, if you can come and blow the shofar this morning, please. Just before. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, open our mouths this morning, Lord. Open our mouths, Jesus. We prophesy over Bloemfontein. We prophesy over Bloemfontein life, Lord, life in Jesus' name. Yes. Yes. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Prophesy life. influential person. You are an influential person in your workplace. Wherever you are, you're an influential. If you're not the boss, it's fine. You can still influence that workplace. Speak over your workplace this morning. Life. Speak life over the dead bones that are in those classrooms, in your res or in your, wherever you go, in your family. If there's death in your family, just speak life over your family this morning. Speak life. Prophesy life. Prophesy the name of Jesus. Jesus over every situation. We pray for healing, Lord, in the city. Healing in Jesus' name. We speak to hospitals now, Lord, where there's so many patients lying. We speak to